Romans chapter 12. We've been working our way through that. We didn't quite get through the whole part of that last week. But we're talking about the church body that sees one another. If we see one another, we'll become impactful in the community that God has called us to be in. And I want to begin by reading that section again, and we're going to pay attention to the last few verses today. But Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it begins, "Let your love be genuine." And that's sincere, undisguised. "Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And so as we look at this text today, we're also thinking about mothers on Mother's Day and how they exemplify a lot of these traits in the scripture and how we too can do that. But I just want to bless our mothers again this morning for the super moms that are everywhere. Your mother has a cape in the closet somewhere, and we follow their example. And then I like this one, a Snoopy. "When you hike in the woods, you have to be prepared for emergencies." And so he says there's a special call. It's mom. And so we call out to our mothers this morning. We thank you for all your impact in our lives once again. And so as we go through this text, last week we talked about the church body that sees one another practices real love. It's a love that's not hypocritical. It's a love that hates evil. It's a love that is glued or joined to what is good. It's a love that's full of family, affection, and kindness. It's a love that leads the way in showing preference to honor one another. So becoming leaders and showing honor. We also looked at the church body that sees one another is alive with the Holy Spirit. We can't do ministry, and mothers can't serve as mothers without being alive in the Holy Spirit. And that means having literally a fire or a mental disposition before God. It's a soul that's full of the vitality of the Holy Spirit. It's a soul that voluntarily serves the Lord. It's a soul that lives in hope. It's a soul that perseveres under pressure. And it's a people that contribute or give their lives over to prayer. If you want God to use you, you have to give yourself over to prayer. You have to give yourself, meet with a body of believers to pray. We have a lot to pray about. There's a lot of ministries that are happening around us. We have to get plugged in prayer. How can God use me? And that's what I want to challenge you today, once again, is how can God use you? Begin to pray. Begin to see, Lord, revive my heart. Begin to become desperate before the throne room of grace. For God to set my heart on fire, break me free from the mundaneness and being rocked to sleep by the things of this world and the politics of the land, to let God move and be free in our lives. It's a church body that sees one another, that actively gives. In other words, we look for the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then not only that, we actively pursue strangers and we welcome them into our lives. And we live a lifestyle making people feel at home. And I would say, you know, when we launch out into ministry out of this building or open up our homes, whether it's to college students or young people in high school and things like that, is that we become hospitable people. You know, I did go to one of Matthew's men's group and speak one time. And I would say have to forgive me, Matthew, because I came with one of my big, long lessons and probably put them all to sleep because I thought I wanted to give them all that I knew in that one time without getting to know them and without really being natural and real. So I just went through my outline and all of that. So when we, God sends us out to minister, we have to become welcoming. We have to build relationships with people. We have to reach out and connect and not just do our duty. And sometimes that gives up, means giving up the things that we planned in our hearts, whether it's a Bible study or an outline or a way or whatever that might be, to love and connect with others. Is joining in the happiness. We talked about empathy, joining in the happiness and the weepingness of others, or the weeping of others. That's not a word. And it's reining in and curbing our personal feelings and opinions. So we talked about this empathy, the act of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and the experiences of another person. And when I think about Mother's Day, I think about my grandmother. And we would have these family gatherings, and guess who prepared the meals for Mother's Day? It was my grandmother and my mother and my aunt. It was supposed to be a day to honor women, but my grandmother loved her grandchildren, her family so much. She was just so excited. She loved to prepare those meals. So I think of her on Mother's Day, and I saw this cartoon. One vacation day a year is all mothers get. But technically, you still have to work today. So when you go home, how many of you mothers are going to be preparing the meal today? Just say no. Look at your husband and say, this is what you're going to do today. This is your job today. So as we come into our text today, what we want to look at today, the church body that sees one another practices real humility. Brothers and sisters, for God to use us, we have to go through a breaking. What we think we know has got to be broken. How we've done things in the past has to be broken. We have to come before God. And as we launch into the end of verse 16 here, he gives us some ways that we can practice real humility. And he begins by the end of verse 16, do not be haughty. And that word basically is to exercise or have in mind or entertain the sentiment or the opinion that you are better than everyone else. And so the person that practices this kind of humility refuses to esteem themselves and their opinions as being more valuable or important than others. How often do we catch ourselves, even if we think that we might know Scripture or the Bible, that we think that our way is more valuable or more important than how other people feel or think? If we're going to practice humility, we need to come to the point where we say, God, I'm not going to be in love with myself so much that I begin to believe that I'm on a higher plane than other people, even to a new Christian.
Well, I've been serving the Lord for 50 years, and I know everything, and they're just getting a little too excited. They'll calm down. They'll eventually fall asleep like the rest of us, you know. There's something that we can learn from new believers. Yes, we can pour into their lives, and that's through relationship and getting to know them. And it's valuing people as more important than ourselves. That's the first thing. The second thing he goes into is being willing to do humble tasks and associate with people of all different statuses or conditions or life. Now, we have trouble with this in one of two ways. One is, well, those people are beneath me, so I can't serve them. But then the other extreme is that I can't relate to those people. Those people are cooler than me, or they're better than me, or whatever that might be. And so I can't be used by the Lord. But this part of humility is being able to go through God's mill of breaking to be able to do humble tasks and associate with people of all different statuses. He says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. We're talking about associate. That is to take off together. That is to yield, to carry, go together with. And then he uses that word lowly. It's of uncertain background, but it literally means to be depressed, humiliated, or base, or cast to a low degree. So in other words, it's a task that I think that task is beyond me. Now, whenever I visit churches,
And there are some churches where like leaders and pastors are treated like almost celebrities or gods, and they carry their Bible up for them to the platform and things like that. And hopefully that doesn't happen too much anymore. It did back when I was younger. But when I see a pastor or a leader that's moving chairs or setting up tables or cleaning after breakfast or taking out the garbage, that's when you know that God is working and moving, and that's the kind of person that I would want to follow. Brothers and sisters, are you the kind of person that somebody wants to follow because you're willing to do the humble task? Well, the pastor, the toilet got plugged again in the men's room. Well, let's call somebody in. Well, that somebody might be me or it might be you. So never be beyond these tasks. And the other thing that we think is like, well, these are tasks that I can't do. Well, it's worth a try. God, you know, God loves and delights when there's something that we don't think we can do and we step out in faith because we know God has called us to do it anyways, and He somehow empowers us to get through that. I think of a powerful example of that, because you know that I'm not very handy and I'm learning how to use the chainsaw and how to cut down trees. And as you well know, some of my history, it didn't always go as well. We had an outhouse that was completely flattened because the tree didn't go where it was supposed to go, and that sort of thing. Well, I was cutting a tree in our driveway and the neighbor was down there, and I just prayed. I was like, God, please let this work out right. You know, I did the little notch. I looked at the YouTube video beforehand, and I prayed, and I know it wasn't because the way I sawed that thing, but it went straight down real slow and perfect right where it was supposed to go. I was like, thank you, God. I didn't look like such a fool in front of this neighbor that, you know, he's been doing these things for years. We're willing to do tasks that we don't think we can do, and we pray and dedicate it to the Lord. God can use you. Now, that's a dumb example, but it might be talking to somebody that we're uncomfortable talking to. It might be inviting somebody over to our house where we say, well, I would never have somebody like that to my house. It could be spending time with somebody that's hurting and sitting down with a young person who had just made some bad choices in their life. Instead of saying, well, you need to do this, let me sit with you a while through this and let's talk about this. Let me pray for you. Let me support you. Let me encourage you. To the young person that's been sleeping around, or to the young person that's caught up in drunkenness, or to the young person that's doing whatever it might be, an old person, because we're all in the same boat, we're all humans, and we all do the same things. But they're willing to associate with people of all different statuses or conditions. In other words, we're literally willing to transport ourselves to meet people where they are, and we don't require them to match our condition or status to befriend them, and don't think that we're too good for any task. Amen. So I love that. Being willing to transport yourself, and literally in the Greek, to meet people where they are. Don't require them to be just like you. I've been guilty of that many times in my life. Well, they've been a Christian for so many years, they should have gotten this by now. Well, how many things could you say about me or Tanya say about me? I've been married to him for so many years. He should have gotten this by now. And he hasn't. It's a church body that practices real humility. How about this one? He goes on to the next part. He says, never be wise in your own sight. I was looking for a picture that captured this, and I thought that the guy that's there, I mean, that's definitely how we look, guys, when we're wise in our own eyes, and our women, our mothers are sitting there, it's like, he has no idea what he's saying or what he's doing. Humility that is not wise in our own individual opinion or outlook. And brothers and sisters, when I look at people and that have been maybe in an area, this is why I encourage you, if you can travel and go other places outside of West Virginia, or if you can even go to a country overseas or a missions trip, to do so, because we become so caught in a narrow box, and our eyesight is so narrowed because we haven't stepped outside of our comfort zones. We haven't stepped outside of our own age group. We haven't stepped outside of our own neighborhood. We haven't stepped outside of the grocery store that we normally go to for 50 years. Or we haven't gone to a different restaurant. Does this challenge you? These all sound like practical things, but to get out of our comfort zones, instead of being wise in our own eyes and caught in our own opinions and ways of thinking, and here's the thing that I try to do too. For somebody that comes in outside of the circle, or I've regularly made a practice of when somebody comes and visits our church that's from another state or something like that, I'll say, you know, might word it in different ways. What was your experience of God? What was your experience of our church? And to listen to people's perspectives, because we're in this all the time and we're doing the same thing every Sunday. But when we hear something from outside of ourselves, but in order to do that, we have to be humble and not be wise in our own eyes. We have to say, you know what? I don't know everything, and that thing, that way of thinking or way of talking may not be the best thing for people. And so when we get out of our comfort zones, we can't be wise in our own eyes. There, in the coming days, in this congregation, God is going to be calling a lot of individuals here outside of your comfort zones, outside of your age group, outside of what you're used to, and you can't be wise in your own eyes. And then he goes on to say, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable. So humility that refuses to seek revenge for evil that is experienced. And brothers and sisters, when you step out of your comfort zone and you step into the ministry zone, be sure and know it that the devil is going to be after you. Mark my words. Sweet, nice church people are going to be after you, or religious people. But he says, don't repay evil for evil that you've experienced. And all of us in this room, I'm sure, have experienced some form of evil, whether it's from our family or the world or from the church. But he says, don't do that. Humility does not repay or try to pay somebody back for what they have done. And brothers and sisters, that does not negate the pain and the hurt that we experience when others accost us. It takes a lot of healing and a lot of work, but at the very best, he says, someone that's humble says, you know what, I'm just not going to try to get them back. And you know, the time, many times that I've failed in my life in ministry is finding, as Christians, we're so good at finding those subtle ways of getting back at people. Sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. A little sarcastic comment or something here and there. But may the Lord and the Holy Spirit humble us in His sight. And then he goes on to say, and this is a very powerful section of Scripture, he says, and give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. This form of humility is it's literally thinking ahead about what is providing, helpful, or morally good or fair or better in the presence of the whole body. Which means instead of thinking on what makes me happy or what makes me feel good in the body of believers or the people that I am ministering to, it is thinking ahead, how can I help in this situation? Now, just like when I went and spoke at Matthew's group, I did not think ahead of what would be helpful and beneficial. In fact, I was scared to death, if I were to be honest. But if we come to the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, It's a humility that thinks ahead about what is helpful, providing, or good, or fair, or better in the body of believers. He says, give thought, think in advance, and what is honorable, literally what is beautiful, what is going to be valuable to this person, what is going to be morally pure and right, what is going to meet them where they're at and give honor. And then he says, in the sight of all, or in the presence of everyone. Church bodies that grow and thrive are church bodies that look for the better in the presence of the whole body instead of what just suits my needs and my personality. I didn't like that song we sang this morning. I don't know why Gary always picks that song. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just giving that as an example. But think about how that song might minister to somebody else if it doesn't minister to you. Or that prayer, or that word that was shared, or even the sermon, or during joys and concerns, what somebody shares. Think community-minded, what is better in the presence of the whole body. Proverbs 3:4 speaks to this. He says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. He says, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and what? Good success in the sight of God and man. Here it is, brothers and sisters, when we pursue love and faithfulness to the point of we're literally hanging it around our necks, we're putting it up in front of our face, we're writing it in the very fiber of who we are in our hearts and our souls. He says we will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And if we don't find success in the way that we think, we must look to God and what pleases the Lord. Like Apostle Paul says, I don't live to please man. Because what we view as success in the sight of God and man is not always success. But it's what God deems as successful. This is called, we use the word deference in the body of Christ. And sometimes we try to practice deference. We try to understand other people. We try to find what's good in the sight of all, but we do so in a way that gets a hook in, kind of like these cartoons. Because even though I was safe and you need glasses, I still have deference for your decision as the guy that comes and gets out at the base. Or the person that goes to the store in deference to her age, you may wait on her first to buy the pickled pig's feet. I thought, what a thing, you know, what a smoked herring, pickled pig's feet. I don't know what marketplace has that kind of thing. But deference, that's showing respect, yielding, being courteous to others without getting those digs in. Well, you made a stupid decision, but I'm going to go along with the rest of the church body. Just having an attitude of deference without the digs. So it's a humility that thinks ahead about what's helpful, what provides for people's needs, what's morally good, what is better in the presence of the body of Christ. And then last of all, it's the church body that sees one another in humility that takes individual responsibility for being peaceful and quiet even when others are not. Now, this is a powerful verse and we should pay close attention to it. Because he says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, God understands and God knows that you're not going to be able to live at peace with everyone because not everyone's going to be peaceful. But what is he talking about? He's talking about on your end, on your side of things. Taking responsibility. So it's being peaceful as far as you are capable or have the power to do. We are not capable of making someone else peaceful. And here's where a lot of believers get confused. And this is how churches or families fall apart. Because if someone is not being peaceful, if they're a dissension causer, then we must set healthy boundaries in place so as to not play their game of war. And sometimes that means taking a step back. And I think there is a huge difference between showing love and kindness to somebody versus being their best friend and liking them. God has called us to love prickly people or people that cause dissension or trouble. But mark my words, do not become their friend, because before you know it, you will become a troublemaker just like them. He says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Don't get into or play into their game of war. So I want to give some scriptures here that give us some insight on this humility and this way of operating as Christians. We love people. We pour our lives into them, sacrificing without expecting anything when we return. We don't have to be everybody's best friend. We don't have to like everybody, but we're called to love with the agape love that God has given us. He says, avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up dissension, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. You know, Proverbs talks about you become like who you hang out with, and so this is why he was so strong in the New Testament. That doesn't mean that he said don't stop. He didn't say to stop ministering to people, not showing them love and caring for them and having compassion on their life. But he's saying, do not take part or sit at their table, so to speak, of fellowship. And then in Corinthians, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by closed people, must be there a little bit of tattletales in the church, that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ, I'm more spiritual than that. Is Christ divided? We're all on the same team is what he's saying. We're all preaching the gospel. Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then Romans chapter 16, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division or create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent and as to what is evil. And then he gives this victorious statement for the church. Ministry is tough, especially to our families when there's division within our families. He says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So as far as it is possible, as it depends on you, live in peace. Don't play into the war. Cut the war off. And brothers and sisters, it's sad to say that I've spent so much time playing the game of war with people, while a lot of people are dying and going to hell. While people need Jesus, it's time that we cut the war out and say, you know what, I'm going to choose to live in peace, whether they do or not. I'm going to continue to share the gospel with them, whether they receive it or not. I'm going to continue to pour their lives and bless them, whether they're thankful or not, or whether they turn their backs on me or not, because that's the world that we live into. And the power of Jesus Christ in us is demonstrated and shows that we're different than the world, in that we continue to pour love into people even when they don't love us back. That's what Jesus did. That's what he's called us to do. And that's what we've seen in many of our mothers and grandmothers. And so God has called us to live in this peace. It's a gift that we can have the peace that passes all understanding, that while everybody else is arguing or caught into the drama, I don't have to get into it. Maybe when you have a family gathering today, there might be some some things that occur, that normally occur when families get together. You say, well, I got the peace of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to let it get to me. I am going to choose peace in Jesus Christ over this. So we see one another. We practice this humility. We refuse to look at ourselves as better. We are willing to do these humble tasks. We're not wise in our eyes. We're humility that refuses to seek revenge, and humility that thinks ahead to what is helpful to the whole group, and humility that takes responsibility for being peaceful and quiet, even when others are not. As we think of our mothers today, mothers might say, I'm irritable, exhausted, and stretched out. And the doctor says, I won't sugarcoat it. You have kids. Brothers and sisters, it's the same in ministry as we see one another. There's going to be times we're going to be irritable. We're going to be exhausted. We're going to be stressed out. But that's where we can choose peace over the drama. That's where we can decide, I'm going to be humble and not let this get to me. I'm not going to try to pay back or get the one up on or get the words of the war of words, win the war of words, because a church body that sees one another, practices this real love, is full of the Holy Spirit, they're active in giving, and they come before the Lord in humility. And brothers and sisters, I want to ask our worship team if you could come this morning. When we think about this humility thing, if we're humbled today, don't forget tomorrow is coming and you wake up in the morning and somebody might just irritate you enough where the pride begins to set in again. And before you know it, you're participating in the same things that they have participated in. It's a daily prayer, Lord, break me. And so I want to challenge us as Christ Community Church, no matter what task God has called us to and what people God has called us to minister to, is to throw our egos aside, to throw this nonsense that I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not skilled enough. What does a young person have to do with an old person, or vice versa? What does an old person have to do with me as a young person? Is to humble ourselves before God. Enjoy the beauty of seeing one another in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, if I had said anything outside of your word, please forgive me and please erase that from our minds. But God, we come to you desperately today, needing a touch of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just ask that you would move on our hearts in a way that we've never experienced.